Chapter 21. Remove the Head. The orcs were coming. Their footfalls thumped loudly against the earth, shaking smaller rocks loose from either side of the gorge. From a lope, the momentum gathered, and then they were running, hurtling towards the ultramarines. Dacius cried out,
"Sicarius!"
He called again and again, and the others joined him, with only the captain staying silent.
"Sicarius! Sicarius!"
The greenskins clamoured for their defile, shoving and pushing each other to be first to reach the enemy. As they came to within 20 feet, boiling into the narrow neck of the gorge like a tidal swell of heat and green flesh, Vorolanus and Vandius stepped back, the unclipped grenades from their belts, Vandius having planted the banner anew, and hurled them into the high reaches of the gorge. A chain of explosions ripped into the shadows, throwing off light and fire. The orc stumbled and slowed almost to a halt, suddenly afraid, cowering at the voice of destruction that was louder than their gods. Then there came a crack, a deep sundering of the earth, as huge chunks of stone and clods of earth rained down on them. The orcs panicked. Some ran for the mouth of the gorge, slamming other greenskins bloodily into the rock face, and died to ultramarine swords. Those that tried to scurry backwards became entangled with the ones behind them and got no further. The larger orcs roared at the avalanche, defying its fury, but were crushed all the same. It was deafening, and huge plumes of dust rose skywards, obscuring the horde behind a cascade of rock and mud. A handful of orcs emerged from the pall of dust, choking and near blind, some missing limbs or terribly maimed. Dacius and Vorolanus dispatched them as they staggered within reach of their blades. Hundreds had been killed or incapacitated by the rockfall, but many had survived, caked in filth and badly bleeding. The chieftain stood amongst them, on the other side of a hillock of rocks and greenskin corpses.
"Take the high ground!"
shouted Sicarius, and led the others up the side of the mound. They reached the summit just as the orcs had begun to scramble up the foot of the hillock on the other side.
"Hold this vantage for as long as we can,"
said Sicarius, as the others joined him. The orcs hit them in a dense slab of hard muscle and aggression. Dacius kicked an orc back down the mound, taking several other greenskins barreling in its wake. He felt an impact across his arm and shoulder as he parried a heavy blow, throwing out a punch with his free hand to distract another orc before slitting its throat. He hacked into the meaty shoulder of a third, taking a stab to his side with a stone knife before he wrenched out his blade and slammed it down onto the orc's skull. Bone snapped, cracking like an eggshell with red gory yolk. Shoving the beast aside with his shoulder, he met two more and was almost pitched off his feet. He held his ground barely. One of the greenskins had a hand around his face, claws trying to dig furrows in his cheek, his forearm lodged in its champing mouth. The second orc died to the gladius lodged in its gut. As Dacius fended off the first greenskin, he began to saw his blade free from the other. It was like cutting boiled leather, thick, messy and noisome. The gladius came free in a welter of blood and bone slivers. Dacius sheathed it in the right ear of the orc, trying to chew off his arm and tear up his face. The claws dragged free as it died, and he stifled a cry of pain as a deep cut opened up his left cheek. Blood soiled his face. He tasted it in his mouth, like old copper pipes. An elbow strike dazed another greenskin, its head snapping back before Dacius thrust his blade through its neck and kicked off the body to see it tumble back. It was frenzied, his movements swift and economic as he drew on every ounce of his training and experience. He cut and slashed and cleaved until his armour had more red than blue. Dozens of minor chips, dents and gouges marred it further, but as of yet none had penetrated. After almost 23 minutes, he was tiring. To fight constantly without respite, no mortal could achieve such a feat. Against an enemy as physically intimidating as feral greenskins, it went beyond taxing. Dacius felt his muscles burn, his every sinew straining. his secondary heart pumping like an engine, fueling every blow. He estimated he had overcome nearly 20 greenskins, almost one every minute, and dealing not merely wounds, but actual death blows. The stink of it, the death and the blood, the sweat of bodies and excrement. It made him want to vomit. The banner was torn, ripped by an axe or an orc claw. Dacius hadn't seen it happen, so he didn't know. Bandius still held the spear haft, letting the greenskins come to him, letting them enter a savage, rending arc. He cut fingers, hacked off hands and feet. A few he killed, but he could not commit fully with the banner, and so he wounded instead. Vorilenus and Fenian stood to one side of the banner, shoulders almost together, and striking out with twinned blades. Fenian sliced off an orc's ear. Vorilenus gutted it. He opened up a torso. Fenian speared it through its open mouth. They worked methodically, and as a unit. All of this Dacius perceived in a heartbeat. If the others were dogged and unyielding, Sicarius was a brutal artisan. His sword leapt across the orc ranks, whip cracks of lightning following its arcing deadly path. He cut through bone armour and flesh. He severed the hafts of spears and crude shields, as if they were parchment. He killed with every stroke, a ruthless, deadly force. Some warriors might have allowed the battle lust to overtake them, but not Sicarius. He jabbed and turned. He thrust and decapitated, with cold lethality. If he had to step out to administer a kill, he stepped back in, always maintaining coherency, always holding the line. He led by example, an almost peerless standard of military discipline and strategic invention, and his men loved him for it. They would gladly lay down their lives for Cato Sicarius, who showed no weakness, only resolve and a fierce determination to win. To fight like this, with armour as heavy as lead and only bare blades, it took a toll. Together, they could hold the defile. As a chain, with all of its links connected, they were inviolable. Until the moment that they were not. The mound of sundered earth and broken bodies made for poor footing. Orcs slipped constantly on their dead or snagged ankles to jutting pieces of rock. They often died for it. When Vorilenus slipped, he almost pitched forwards, staggering into the savage bodies of his enemies. An axe blow cleaved into the place between his neck and his shoulder guard. It drew a thick arc of blood in the air as the blade was withdrawn, which is how Dacius knew it had gone deep. A spear thrust bit into his forearm, and Vorilenus dropped his sword. He fought with his fists, but a tattooed beast of a greenskin was about to smash open his skull with a massive stone hammer when Fenian stepped in. He barged into the beast, leading with his useless shoulder, using it as a battering ram. It teetered, suddenly unbalanced by the ferocity of the attack, and fell back, Fenian going with it. He was quickly on his feet, lashing out with his gladius to open up an orc's neck. He stabbed another through the chest, just as Vorilenus was stooping down to retrieve his own blade. But Fenian had stepped out of the aegis of his fellow battle brothers and was briefly surrounded. Dacius called to Sicarius, and the captain turned mid-death blow and saw the danger. As Sicarius cut his way to Fenian, Dacius stepped into the breach he had left, but still saw what happened next. Fenian had been turning to face his next assailant when the spear impaled him. It ran right through his lower back and out of his upper chest, spitting him like a boar. He writhed in agony, coughing up blood before crying out. His gauntleted fingers just about clung on to his sword. Vorilenus cried out too, hacking down four orcs before he could get to the spear wielder.
Aeolus!
He cut this one apart as well, but by then a stone axe was embedded in Fenian's stomach, and blood leaked from half a dozen stab wounds. Vorilenus wrapped an arm around his stricken brother and hauled him backwards, Fenian's legs kicking weakly as they dragged through the dirt. Seeing weakness, the orc scrambled to make the kill, but Sicarius was already amongst them. They recoiled from his lightning blade, too afraid to face him.
Lions!
he roared, cutting a red sway through the orcs.
With me!
He drove like a lance into the greenskins, no longer on the defensive, but taking the fight to them. Dacius went with him. So did Vandius, who had planted the banner and drawn a second blade in his off hand. Unprepared for the sudden attack, the orcs were cowed at first, but then rallied, emboldened by violence. Their numbers had been severely culled, but Dacius counted at least 30 or so left, and these were amongst the largest, the ones with bone armour and painted-in tattoos. They had metal weapons, too, crudely wrought from pieces of salvage. Dacius turned a rough cleaver aside, the pig iron rasping sparks as the blades collided. The blow jolted his shoulder, but he got the better of the exchange as he forced the orc's arm wide and stabbed up into its gullet. The gladius punched through the crown of the orc's skull, but it kept on fighting. Dacius left the red-rimmed weapon embedded, drawing a shorter combat blade from the back of his belt as the orc flailed at him. He went under its reach, getting in close and stabbing it repeatedly in the torso. As it collapsed like a felled tree, Dacius took a firm grip of his sword and let the orc's momentum tear it loose. He no longer had sight of Zacharias, the captain lost to the gloom and surrounded by orcs, who sought to bring him down through sheer weight of numbers. Vandius was just ahead of Dacius. His arms were like pistons, his speed of motion belying the fact of his cumbersome warplate. He cut down two orcs with two quick diagonal slashes of his sword, opening up a path to the chieftain. Vandius charged at him. The beast met him with pure aggression, bullying through the ranks of the other greenskins like a train. It laughed as Vandius lashed out, catching the sword in its open hand. Dark blood ran vigorously down the blade, the contempt in the beast's eyes reflected in the red mirror sheen. The bone club struck Vandius across the chest and hurled him back. He staggered, a deep crack down his plastron, the gladius wrenched from his grip and thrown aside. But he came at the orc again. The beast roared, reveling in the fight, but stopped laughing when Vandius's flung combat blade protruded from its neck. It gurgled, only just catching up to what had happened. Vandius was still moving, but was now unarmed. He'd beat the chieftain to death if he had to.
Vandius!
It was Vorilenus, stained with Fenian's blood, returning to the battle. He drew a sword from his back and tossed it to the banner-bearer, who caught the hilt in one hand. Using a dead orc to get a foot up, Vandius leapt at the chieftain wielding Praxomenorian's old sword. The beast raised an arm to defend himself, still choking on the knife sticking out of his neck. The sword cleaved through the arm, severing it just below the elbow. The blade scraped against the chieftain's armour, tearing through but snagging in the orc's thick hide. Blood gushing from his arm stump, the chieftain lunged with the bone club. It punched through the crack in Vandius's breastplate and came out through his back. The banner-bearer hung in mid-air, legs dangling limply and clawing at the bone club impaling him. The beast gave a hefty swing to shake Vandius loose, and he hit the side of the gorge hard. He tried to rise, his teeth pinked with blood. Praxor's old blade clattered to the ground, chiming like a funeral bell. He got up on one elbow and struggled to reach for it. Dacius was pinned, three against one, and could barely fend his opponents off. He saw Vorilenus in his peripheral vision, a gladius in his hand. He could find no sign of Zacharias, and feared he might have been overwhelmed in the press of bodies. Chuckling, seemingly ignorant or uncaring of his grievous injuries, the chieftain sidled up to Vandius's crumpled form and pushed the bone club up under his chin. He wanted a look into the warrior's eyes before he killed him. In a perverse way, the orc was showing him respect. The chieftain snorted, deciding Vandius was not so impressive, and let his chin drop so he could raise the club for a killing blow. The weapon didn't get higher than his shoulder. It stopped abruptly, the chieftain momentarily dumbstruck as the tip of a crackling sword poked out of his chest. He looked at it as if it were an apparition, a figment of his crude imagination. The blade thrust out further, and then moved rapidly with the cutting inexorability of a disruption field, carving open the chieftain from hip to shoulder. The beast turned, stumbling on its swollen legs, and stared impotent fury at Sicarius as its two halves parted, venting a slew of gory innards onto the ground. It was over. The last of the orcs fled or were killed by the Adeptus Astartes as they ran. Above, the storm broke, and the first wan shafts of the sun pierced through. After he was finished chasing down greenskins, Dacius returned to stand before the captain and met his gaze.
"Remove the head," he rasped,
reprising something Sicarius had said years ago. Sicarius arched his brow, then gestured to Varolanus.
"See, Devandius."
Incredibly, the chieftain still lived. He was holding his guts with one arm and breathing rapidly as Dacius and Sicarius stood over him. A deep, ugly sound issued from his throat, shaking the beast's body.
"Is it laughing at us?"
An uneasy feeling entered Dacius's gut as he followed the line of the orc's feverish gaze. A large piece of orc graffiti had survived the rock slide. It took up a large part of the gorge wall, daubed in blood and foul greenskin spore. It depicted the two-headed orc god.
"Two faces," said Sicarius.
He looked down at the chieftain again, at the half-helm he wore, the jawpiece missing.
"One bellicose and warlike."
Dacius turned to his captain, as a stark realization came to light.
"The other, cunning and deadly."
Sicarius sheathed his sword.
"Damn it! There are two of them! Where to, then? Where else? Back to Faradim. They lured us here, and the rest waited for us to be gone."
He looked at the power source, jutting from the floor of the gorge, too heavy for them to carry, but not for a gunship.
"We need Hephaestus. So, do we go back? To the city, I mean?"
Dacius pointed at the power source.
"That's it, isn't it? That's what we need to restore the ship."
"That's what we need," Sicarius replied.
"What is it? A generator? A capacitor? Can we even use it?"
"All good questions, Retius. That we shall need our tech marine to answer. This is what Hephaestus discovered on the augurs. I am sure of it."
"So we can't leave it?"
"We can't, but we must," said Sicarius. He called out to Varolanus.
"Scipio?"
"Vandius lives, but barely," he called back. "Fanion, too."
"Can you walk, Iolus?" asked Sicarius, as the other sergeant shambled into view and sat down heavily next to where Varolanus had slumped Vandius against the gorge wall.
I'll barely slow you down. I can scarcely stand. I'll stay with Vandius," he said. "Someone should watch him."
Sicarius nodded, hiding his dismay at the condition of his warriors, but Dacius knew him well enough to guess what he was feeling.
"I won't abandon the mortals. We three must go," he decided.
"Back to Faradim? That's half a day's march at least, even for us."
"Then we have to make all haste, Dacius."
"Or perhaps not."
Scipio was pointing to the horizon, where a black, angular shape flew towards them. Dacius narrowed his eye.
"Is that?"
As the shape grew closer, it was possible to make out swooping wings, prow, and a battered fuselage.
"Glory to Gilliman,"
uttered Sicarius. Hephaestus had found them.